Moses. He's a man after my own heart. Here he is just doing his normal routine. He has the sheep out, walking through the desert, doing what he's done 1,000 times before. But unlike other days, he sees a bush burning, and God is there in those flames. God calls to him and tells him something outrageous. He tells him to save his people. It wasn't that Moses didn't feel bad for the people of Israelites. Moses remembered their suffering because that's how he ended up in Midian, tending the sheep. But what could he realistically do? He was just one man, slow in speech, a man of no power. Who was he to stand up and speak truth to power? And if he did as God asked, why would the Israelites leave the place they called home, bad as it was, to follow him into the wilderness? I know, God did promise to bring them to a land of milk and honey, but what were they going to eat in the meantime? At least where they were, they knew what to expect. So many unknowns, too many logistics to work out. In his mind, God had asked the wrong person. Find someone more capable, more talented, more suited for the job. We'd all like to think that if we heard God speak to us, especially so directly, and asking us to do something so important as to help suffering people, that we would act. But would we so easily respond in the affirmative? Or would we, like Moses, put up all the reasons why we think we are the wrong person for the job? I know that I am more like Moses than I'd like to think. Oh God, how can I help? I am only one person. I'm a nobody. Get a celebrity or an activist or some politician who has more clout and power to be your voice. I have no talents or gifts to do something like that. I wouldn't even know where to begin. But there is something interesting that happens when God calls us into action. God gives us what we need to do the job. All we need to do is to respond. Moses gave his objections, but to each objection, God told him what he would provide. He provided a staff that would turn into a snake when he threw it down. He gave him a cloak that would turn his hand to leprosy to show the Pharaoh his power. But more than that, God promised to always be with Moses every step of the way. And secondly, that he would continue to provide Moses with whatever he needed to be successful. So why don't we respond more when we are called by God to act? Is it laziness, tiredness, no confidence in our abilities? Perhaps you would say you would respond if God ever talked to you like he did to Moses. But isn't God talking to us that way every day? Isn't God talking to us when we see kids in cages or in hotels, separated from their parents, no loving guardian to protect them, traumatized by the separation from their parents? Black lives that for centuries have been oppressed, and now we hear them yelling, "Enough! Our lives matter too." Do you hear God's voice in their voices? We say that God loves us equally, that we support our black and brown brothers and sisters, but what has the church done to support them in their struggle for equality and justice? Or perhaps at times, the church of the white person has even contributed to the problem. We say we want help, but now is not the right time. We are in the midst of a pandemic. We have too much on our plate right now. Perhaps in a few months or next year, like Moses, we have our excuses of why we are not the right ones for the job. God, you better check your game plan again. I'm not the right person to carry the ball on this one. Last week, we talked about recognizing Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. At the Nexus service, which I invite you to try out, we Zoom meet every Sunday. We had a great time of sharing of those experiences we felt when we had those profound encounters with God. If we say we believe, if we say we have those profound moments in our lives when we felt and experienced God in a transformational way, then why can't we believe that God calls out to us to bring action? God came to Moses through a burning bush. It was the bush in flames, while not being consumed, that caught his attention. Once God had his attention, God was able to tell him what he needed him to do. We say we have been given visions of God's self. If we had, then we would focus our attention on God and listen to what he has to say. When we turn on the TV and see images of the protests, we see God. When we see the images of the kids in cages, we see God. When we see the images of the long food lines stretching for literally miles, we see God. God calls us through the voices of all these people. If only we had ears to hear. The parable of the goats and sheep found in Matthew 25 reminds us of this, saying quite clearly that when we help those who are hungry, sick, wrongfully imprisoned, distressed and in need, you are helping Jesus. If we don't see Jesus in these people who are hungry and facing evictions, not knowing where to turn, if we don't see Jesus in the faces of the asylum seekers, afraid for their lives because of violence in their own countries, we will never see God. God is in every depressed person who doesn't know where to turn, in the face of every drug-addicted person whose pain is so great that they turn to drugs so that they wouldn't have to face another day of self-loathing. God is in the exhausted single mother who's juggling caring for kids and working two jobs to pay the bills. She can't keep up. God is in the mother who lost a child to senseless gun violence just because she wasn't able to move her child to a safer community, or just because she sent her kid to school that morning to what she thought was a safe middle-class high school. Who would have thought it could end like this? God is speaking loud and clear every day, but are we listening? Perhaps the greatest reason for not acting more in response to God's plea for assistance is that at the bottom of it all, we just don't want to be inconvenienced. We don't want to be moved out of our comfort zone. What exactly does it mean to, despite the complaints we might make of the status quo of being in a rut, it is comfortable and known. We really don't want to change or perhaps face giving up creature comforts we have come to know and expect. But in this passage from Matthew, Christ is calling us to take up our cross. And what exactly does that mean, to take up our cross? I knew one woman who said that as a child, she was very ornery and drove her mother nuts. And her mother used to say to her, I'm praying that one day God gives you a child just like you were to me. And lo and behold, that woman said to me, you know, God answered her prayers. My daughter is just as ornery as I was back at her age. Guess that is the cross I have to bear. But the cross that we are to bear is much more than dealing with an ornery child or a job we don't like. The cross we have to bear does not mean that we don't have enough money to buy the better boat or take the exotic vacation or have a nicer home. The cross that Christ bore was one of humiliation and torture. It was a great weight that brought him to his knees and brought him to a torturous death. The cross we have to bear for Christ is so much more than what the average white American has ever had to deal with. We see from the outside looking in. Do we have it within ourselves to enter into another's pain? Truly enter in to be supportive. No more than supportive, like Simon of Cyrene, can we carry that heavy cross of another person, carry their humiliation and pain? That is what we are being asked to do, to carry when we are asked to carry the cross. We are being asked to enter into the suffering of the world and to take that upon ourselves, just as Christ did, but not by ourselves alone, never by ourselves alone. For the promise that was given to Moses on that day, the promise from God that God's self would always be with him, is the same promise that Christ promised to us, to never leave us, to always be with us. And Christ left the Holy Spirit to us. God provided Moses with what he needed, and he will provide us with what we need. We will be given the talents and gifts needed to help others get through whatever it is that they need to get through, just as Christ provides us with the strength to get through what we need to get through. We are never carrying that cross alone. That is the good news. God does provide. There are so many problems facing our country these days. So many problems that we can't even think of, problems that are happening around the world. So many problems. So many people suffering. How can we not act? Can you not hear the people cry? They are suffering, and for those of us who have ears to hear, let us hear and then act according to the gifts that God has provided each of us. We may see ourselves only capable of doing something small, but I challenge you to dream bigger and vision bigger and not be afraid to be challenged to your farthest limit, to respond in faith to save God's people. I admit that when I hear God's children crying, I often feel helpless and don't know how to help. At times, the only thing I know to do is to weep with them and pray. But that is a start. Moses didn't know where to start either, but God instructed him, and then Moses acted. We need only to start the journey of giving and sacrifice, and God will guide and provide. And the other thing to remember is that we are not doing this alone. As I said before, God is always with us. But not only God, each other. We are made into community, and collectively we can figure out what God is calling us to do. But the time to start is now. This excuse of waiting till tomorrow is not a good excuse. This pandemic will hopefully be gone by next year. But the suffering of God's people is happening today. The injustices are happening today. The suffering of God's people with hunger and homelessness is happening today. God calls us to respond with action and with faith today. I don't know the answers to the problems. I don't know the directions you are to take. I don't know the direction I'm to take or that we are to take as a church. But I do know the path forward is together. The path forward is responding to God's call to help those in need. The path forward is sacrifice, hard work, being stretched and discovering strengths and talents we didn't know we had. The path forward involves movement to act with no excuse, not even age, should stop us from doing what God is calling us to do. We may not be able to do at 90 what we were able to do at 60 or 30 or 15. But the wisdom God has given from a lifetime of faith is not to be seen as insignificant. We all can do our part, whatever that may be, to respond and help God's people find freedom, liberty, and justice. God will and is providing what we need for today. We need to only listen and respond in faith. Throughout my years of college, I began to hear the call to serve God abroad. I had never traveled outside of the country. I hadn't even traveled that much within this country. And yet here I felt compelled to apply to the Presbyterian Church for a job teaching in Egypt. My first trip abroad was to go to live in another country. I was nervous and scared. Over the days I spent packing, I cried a lot. The nervous tension displayed itself through seemingly endless tears. My mother would come to my room, see me crying, and shake her head. "You don't have to go," she would say. And I would say, "Yes, I do." That drive, that call was there. I needed to respond. And I have to say that Egypt was the hardest place I have ever lived. Cairo is crowded, noisy, and dirty. The air pollution is severe. I had no confidence in my ability to teach those girls, but I found that in the midst of the noise and the tension was God. God with me, empowering me, guiding me, loving me. I will never know what my time there did for those young girls. I do know what that time there meant for me in growth of faith and in my relationship with Jesus Christ, in experiencing God in a very living way, close and personal. God was there for this young American woman living so far from home. Because in the end, that is the amazing thing about answering God's call. While it may seem scary and overwhelming, we find God there for us just as much as God is there for the people we are trying to help. God being manifest to us, just as we are trying to make God manifest to others. Throughout the ages, God has said, "I have heard my people cry, whom shall I send?" I have never heard the crying of God's people as great as I hear it today. I hope you hear it too. Whom shall I send? May we all respond with a heartfelt and committed, "Send me, O Lord." We are called to do justice, love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Let us do this each and every day as we respond to the cries of God's people with faithfulness and confidence that God will provide all our needs to carry out his will. Amen.